The United States is kindling a new Cold War across Africa aimed against Russia. It might only succeed at driving African countries further into the arms of Russia. This is the view of freelance journalist and columnist Ivo Vector, who writes in a new article that South Africa is at a crossroads of a new Cold War. And we welcome him onto the program this morning. Ivo, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Yusuf, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. Your time appreciated. Ivo, are we on the brink of a new Cold War between Russia and basically most of Europe and the USA? And who will win this battle?
I think we are. And you know, what I think tilted the scales here is the U.S. Congress has just passed the Countering Malign Russian Activities in Africa Act. Right, with a near unanimous bipartisan vote. It was passed in April by Congress, and it is likely to become law in the next few months. Now, this bill considers all Russian activity in Africa as malign, from mere investment to propaganda campaigns to the deployment of mercenary forces at the request of African governments, as has happened in Mozambique, in Mali, in the Central African Republic, and so on. If passed, this would use America's soft power, such as aid programs, economic investment, and preferential trade programs, to counter Russian activity in Africa. And this could extend to targeted sanctions or trade sanctions should African governments or companies be found to be dealing with Russian parties who are sanctioned by the U.S. So it's extending the U.S. sanctions, basically, and forcing African governments to comply with U.S. sanctions. Now, this would have far-reaching consequences for a country like South Africa. I mean, our government has refused to denounce Russia's brutal invasion of Ukraine. And it now looks set to reap the rewards of this pandering by securing cheap oil that Russia cannot sell to other customers. Now, to me, the question isn't just which side we're on. You know, the U.S. is South Africa's second largest trade partner, just behind China. Russia doesn't even appear in the top 25. The U.S., for all its foreign policy errors, and there are many, is also at least nominally a liberal democracy which upholds liberty and human rights. Right? So the choice should be simple. But this bill is going to force African governments to join the U.S. in this new Cold War against Russia. But just like the original Cold War drove many African countries into the arms of the Soviet Union, which supported the liberation movements, old Cold War loyalties and resentment against being bullied by an imperial power could push many African governments, including South Africa, further into the arms of Russia today.
Yes.
Yeah. If the defeat of communism by liberal democracy during the Cold War is the great triumph of the latter half of the 20th century, the legacy of communist loyalties and socialist governments left behind in Africa is surely the great tragedy. Now, it's hard to imagine that the U.S. is not going to win this new Cold War against Russia. The question is, at what ideological cost to Africa?
And if South Africa aligns itself more with Russia, what would be the economic consequences for us? You know, speaking about the aid and the preferential trade agreements, we've seen the power of trading in terms of, you know, a few years ago when South Africa was forced to take the American chickens.
Yeah, you know, it's South Africa. The U.S. considers South Africa a strategic partner. You know, it's had a long relationship with South Africa. The programs like PEPFAR, which is the President's Emergency Plan for Aid Relief, has benefited from just over $7 billion in U.S. cash. The U.S. contributes significantly to aid programs in South Africa, including developing small and medium-sized enterprises, creating employment, improving training and job skills, basic education, combating gender-based violence. You know, so the U.S. is very involved in South Africa. So there's a lot of carrots that the U.S. could pull in order to get South Africa to comply with its foreign policy against Russia. You know, and because the U.S. is one of South Africa's biggest trading partners, and Russia, frankly, isn't, it's absolutely in our economic interest to align ourselves with the U.S. I just don't see the South African government doing that. You know, its rhetoric has always been anti-U.S., anti-West, and this is just going to harden its position, I think, against the U.S. and in favor of Russia.
We obviously the smallest from the BRICS partners and contributing in a very small way. But for South Africa's economy, you know, what is the role of being part of that BRICS alliance?
Well, I think it's going to become more important, because if we alienate the West, and we alienate the U.S. in particular, and the U.S. starts imposing sanctions against us, perhaps, you know, we are going to rely much more heavily on our relationship with Brazil, China, India, and Russia. Whether we can get enough business out of those countries to make up for what we would lose from the U.S., I don't think we can. You know, I don't think that BRICS is a particularly strong alliance and a particularly strong set of economies. So I think this is going to hurt South Africa in the long run.
Yes. So, you know, as you indicate that BRICS may not be that as strong as it potentially could have been, what could be one of the factors behind why BRICS hasn't grown and taken off as would have been expected?
You know, I think the individual economies in BRICS are not particularly healthy economies. You know, Brazil has been struggling a lot economically. India hasn't been doing well. There's a lot of socialist influence in those governments, and socialist governments never really do well. So for them to support each other, you know, if your economy isn't doing very well itself, then it's very hard to support another country, economically. And we see that with the BRICS Bank and the very limited impact it's had in terms of supporting the BRICS partners to date. So it's just a question of the type of economies that they are. They're not rich world economies. They are all developing economies to some extent or another, with the possible exception of China, which you, I suppose you could consider developed.
Within our country and the government set up, you know, who will sort of be debating and discussing as to where we should align ourselves? Will it come from the International Relations Department, from DIRCO, or will this type of alignment come from the president?
I think it'll be one of those collective decisions, you know, and there's a blurring between the party and the state in South Africa. So pretty much everything that happens follows ANC policy decisions, and I think this will be discussed within the ANC, within the NEC, and we have constantly made statements in the international arena that go against the US and that favor some of the US's worst enemies. You know, including North Korea and Cuba and Iran, you know, you name them, we're friends with them. So I don't see that the basic policy, the basic orientation, which is anti-West, and the view that the West is imperial and the West was the way of the colonialists and therefore our enemies. I don't think that that's going to change. I think that that position is just going to harden. And we're going to end up in a move effectively on the wrong side of this Cold War.
Yeah, and in the end, with the economy and the far-reaching consequences, it's the masses of the country that may potentially bear the brunt of this. Ivo, thank you very much for chatting to us this morning. Your perspective really appreciated on Radio Islam.
That's a great pleasure. Thank you.
Have a lovely day. Thank you. Bye-bye. That was Ivo Victor chatting to us this morning about South Africa, the crossroads of a new Cold War. Basically, they've got to decide which side they're going to be on.